Good morning, New Life. So glad that you are with us today on this very, very special Super Sunday, a chance for us as a church to come together and pray about what God wants to do in and through each of your lives. I want to invite everybody that's out there to make their way inside. I want to welcome those that are online with us today. Would you guys join with me in prayer for this day as we give our time to the Lord, that the Lord would do a work inside each and every one of us. So, Father, we come to you. We ask that you would use this time to truly do a work. Lord, that you would hit our hearts, our eyes, our hands. God, we want to be part of something greater. So bless this time, we pray. And God's people said, amen. Amen. Again, I want to welcome you to Super Sunday 2021. For those that are watching us online, I want you to type in on that chat box, I am part of something greater. Right now, put the Cheerios down, type in, I am part of something greater. For you in here, I want you to turn to that person that you're sitting next to and tell them, I am part of something greater. You are part of something greater. God has something great in store for each and every one of you. 2020 was a year that was challenging. Needless to say, it tested our emotions. For some of you, it tested your relationships. Your spiritual walk with God was most likely challenged during this time. Others of you, your physical health was put into jeopardy. It's challenging to go through difficult times. But you don't know what you're made of until you're made to go through difficult times. You don't know what's really inside of you until you're put through those environments that challenge your faith, challenge your relationships, challenge your own walk with God. Some of you were surprised at what you found. Some of you are surprised that you found faith instead of fear during those difficult times. Some of you found hope instead of discouragement. Others of you found boldness instead of insecurity. I pray that we all realized this simple truth, that we realize that what could be is greater than what you and I can see. As we enter into our 20th year this coming October as a church family, I want you to just realize how faithful God has been. When things around us stopped, when businesses were shut down or sporting events closed or the way of life wasn't normal anymore, God's church is still moving. God's church is still standing. He has been faithful. You as a church have stepped up. When the world said, look inward, you guys said, hey, let's reach outward. This past year, you guys gave 1,000 Operation Christmas Child shoeboxes to children all around this globe. Come on, somebody. 1,000. That was 300 more than last year. And the last year was the most we've ever done. So in the year of a pandemic, you guys said, no. We're not going to look inward. We're going to reach outward to children that don't have what we have. When people were losing jobs and our economy felt uncertain, you stepped up and you still gave towards the mission and the vision of New Life Church over $618,000. And out of that $618,000, $98,000 of it was given directly towards mission work all over, local and global work all over our globe. Missions at New Life has been a staple. Check this out. From 2001 to 2020, New Life has given over $1.4 million towards missions around this globe. Come on, somebody. This past year, we've seen stats We've seen media, we've seen people tell us that this next generation's lost. They're too far gone. But we at New Life Church says, no, this next generation can be found in Jesus. God has given us an amazing pastor and Pastor Tony and his beautiful family to help spearhead the charge to reach that next generation. Let's just give up a God for Tony. Our world was isolating. Our world was feeling lonely. But you guys said we need each other. I am so thankful for programs like Celebrate Recovery with anybody with a hurt, a habit, or a hang-up where nobody is lost is at this church. I'm thankful for people like David to help us invest into our online presence for those at home. We have jumped leaps and bounds this past year to invest into online to make sure that even when you're alone at home, you can still feel connected. And God has given us Steve Siemens to work part-time to create a small group network at our church to make sure each person has an amazing church family where nobody is alone. 2020 has taught us to fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. My prayer again is that we realize today that what could be is greater than what you and I can see. I'm inviting you this next hour to dream a dream. To dream a dream so big that you and I have to pray. That we have to pray because the dream is so big. To dream about people, about being a people where becoming a disciple and making disciples of Jesus is normal. Where our communities and our neighborhoods that surround us know the love of Jesus because we are with them every day. Where reaching our next generation is our standard. Where each person, no matter what background, no matter what they've done, is embraced with the life-changing grace and truth of Jesus. Where life change happens daily. Where it's normal life is constantly being interrupted with being part of something greater. God has been faithful, and He will continue to be faithful. Can you guys give God a 2020 thank you clap right now? God is so faithful. He didn't have to, but He does. He loves us so much that He gave His one and only Son for each and every one of us. And as we talk vision today, we stand on Him and Him alone. We stand on His faithfulness that never fails. Who He is where we stand strong. God has been faithful time and time again. As we enter into 2021, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He will never, ever change. And I want to invite you today to be part of something greater. You and I, each and every day, we walk past people in our workplaces, in our communities, in our neighborhoods, the coffee shops. Every day we walk past people. And sometimes we don't see them because we're so busy trying to get our coffee or get to school or get to class that we don't see people like the way God sees people. And so Andy and Molly Beals did something special this past week. They went out boldly and they went onto the street in downtown Des Moines with a camera, with David Duga, and a microphone and just wanted to ask people, what's your thoughts about church? What's your thoughts about God? What about Jesus? And I want you to hear those responses today. Dan?
I'm Andy Beals.
Diego.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
We're just going to ask you a few questions. We're just trying to get people's different perspectives here in Des Moines, Iowa. All right, sound good? We just have a few questions for you. First question we got for you today is, what do you think of church when you hear the word church?
A holy place of worship.
Studies of cultural beliefs and religion.
I think about religion, family traditions maybe.
Depending on the area or whatever,
Yeah.
I come from a Catholic family in Mexico, so we
went
to church a lot of church school even, mm-hmm. Wednesday through Saturday, but coming here to the States, I haven't been since.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean I'm not a religious person. Mm-hmm. It just means that I don't have time to.
Yeah, I got you. When you hear the word hope, is there still hope in the world? Do you believe there's hope in the world?
Yes. I believe there's hope. It's hard to find.
Yeah, where do you find your hope?
In God.
In God you find
I'm Muslim, so.
Okay, yeah. All right.
I work in this restaurant right here, so hope is very important to me because we're hoping to be open sometime soon and you know, bring people back in.
Absolutely.
And just enjoy having people around.
And when you hear the word God, what does that make you think?
Of my grandma and grandpa, you know, every time we would eat dinner, they would just thank God after you eat, and that's what we did.
God for me is Allah.
Allah?
Divine entity of life.
For me now, thanking God is just every day. Like I said, I'm not necessarily any certain religion, but
the Almighty God up above, the Spirit, the Holy Ghost.
He's Allah.
Allah?
Yeah.
And what's that? What's that mean? I'm not
a creator who created us for worship.
For worship?
Mm-hmm.
To worship Him.
Yes.
Okay.
I get to drive my own car to work. I get to work here. I have clothes over my back, so that's what I think when I think God. You know.
Oh, the Creator.
Yeah. Opportunity. Yeah. Being thankful, really.
Yeah.
What do you think of? What does it look like to love others?
To be, I don't know, shit, to love others?
Yeah.
That's a good question.
To love others, it depends on what kind of love you want to give them. Understanding doesn't matter who you are, where you came from, or, you know.
It's to be nice to people, I guess.
You know, that you have a common belief in life that you're still walking and ticking and trying to get by.
Basically want what you want for yourself, want it for other people.
Great. When you hear Jesus Christ, what does that make you think?
Jesus Christ is God's son, right?
Okay.
And he's the one that died on the cross like 2,000 years ago or something. He had a lot of gifts because he was God's son.
Hmm. What if I told you that Jesus Christ is God? Father, Son, Holy Spirit. What does that make you think?
I almost think that would make sense.
You and I, we pass people on the street, in our workplaces, in our neighborhoods, every day. Most of us would pass these people, but thanks to Andy and Molly who boldly went out there and asked these questions, we recognize that everybody has different thoughts, different beliefs, different ways of seeing things and looking for hope, looking for something greater. So I was doing something very productive with my time. I was searching YouTube for dumb videos. And while I was searching YouTube for dumb videos, I came across this icon. So each video has like a picture on it. And it was about a speaker. And it said live underneath. And so I was just kind of curious because I wanted to see this live event. And so I clicked on this, not knowing what it was. And up came like a Zoom call where there was about 10 individuals on the screen. And it was going back and forth between like a speaker and these 10 individuals. Back and forth, this live event. And it caught my eye because when I looked at the screen with the 10 individuals on their Zoom call, they all had their eyes closed and their hands lifted up. And the speaker on the other end, he was praying over them. And this is what he was praying. He says, "With your hands lifted high, we bless you with happiness, joy, and prosperity." So I thought, oh, man, oh, it's like some Christian event. This is cool. I'll put my hands up too. You know, it's like, this is awesome. And then he said this. He said, "Now I want you to take your hands and I want you to place them down towards the ground." And he says, "I want you to flood Mother Earth with your divine golden light." I'm like, okay, this is getting weird. And then he proceeded to say, "Now I want you to repeat after me, and I want you to hear what this group was praying." They said this: "Our beloved Mother Earth, our beloved Mother Earth, be blessed with divine light, love, and power. May our beloved Mother Earth be healed and regenerated. Omen and amen. Amen and amen. And what took place next shocked me. Because for me, good old Midwestern, I'm like, this is crazy, you know? What's going on here? But the people, to the 10 individuals on the screen, were smiling. There was a comment section saying, oh, that's exactly what I needed. I feel hope. I feel full. I feel love. One woman in particular was crying her eyes out and just saying how much this blessed her. And it made me think something. What is different from that than what happens in churches? What's the difference? People looking for hope? People looking for love? People looking for something greater than themselves? What's the defining difference? And I want to share with you what the defining difference is, the why the church exists, why it is different than anything else, why New Life is different than just a country club to come and feel hugs and cuddles. What makes this different? Of course, it stems from Jesus. There was this time where Jesus had his disciples. In Matthew chapter 5, it says this. Now when Jesus saw the crowd, so he sees a crowd, he went up on the mountainside and he sat down. His disciples came to him and he began to teach. So Jesus goes up on a mountain and he begins to teach. And he teaches the most iconic message in human history called the Sermon on the Mount. Now, if you're not familiar with the Sermon on the Mount, the Sermon on the Mount was truly a moral, powerful message. If you like morality and being a better version of you, this was the message because Jesus raises the standard so high on morality. Be a good person, be better, be perfect. And what he does is he takes what we'd all say is common and he raises it to impossible heights. He says things like, if you've ever had anger, you've committed murder in your heart. If you've ever been angry, you've committed murder. Most of us have murdered then. He says, if you've ever looked at a woman with lust, you've committed adultery. Raises the standard to impossible heights. Then he says, I want you to be perfect as my heavenly Father is perfect. Good luck. Possible heights. Raises the standard. But what takes place next is what makes New Life in every church on this planet with a gospel message different. After he finishes teaching this powerful message on morality and being perfect, in Matthew chapter 7, verse 28, the very end of his message, this is what happens. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching because he taught as one who had authority, not as other teachers of the law. So everybody's like, that was an amazing sermon. That was the best conference. Let's go have a potluck. You know, like, this is awesome. I'm ready to go. Let's go. Let's be better people, better version of us, a better you. Let's go. And then Jesus signed all his books that he sold at the bookstore. No, I'm just joking. But that's what they're feeling right now. And so the crowd has actually grown bigger at this point. People are liking this. But right after this, watch what happens. When Jesus came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. A man with leprosy. Now, to fully understand this, you have to understand the context of what's taking place here. A leper at that time was somebody that was diseased with probably the most horrific visual disease that there was. It would eat away your skin publicly. There was no ways of truly covering it up except for bandages, and it would leak through the bandages. Scholars believe that they used to teach that if you had leprosy, it's because of your sin. And any leper, by law, was not allowed to be around other people. They had to be isolated from everybody else. By themselves, cast aside. That's by law. And so here's this leper who's sinful, who's dirty, who shouldn't even be near Jesus, coming to Jesus and say, make me clean. Are you willing? And the Bible actually teaches, the law actually teaches this. In Numbers, this is Old Testament, Numbers 19:22, It says, anything that an unclean person touches becomes unclean. And anyone who touches it becomes unclean until evening. So this unclean person, whatever they would touch would be considered unclean. So if they touched you, now you are unclean. And so when this leper says, can you make me clean? Everybody stepped back, held their breath. They just got done with their big, awesome sermon, and now, look at this. Suddenly, reality hits this group. And I believe what Jesus intentionally was doing here is taking this group on a field trip. He took them on a field trip. He taught them, and now here's the reality of it. Verse number 3 tells us, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man and says, I am willing, be clean. Immediately he was cleansed of his leprosy. Come on, somebody. Immediately he was cleansed from his leprosy. This is the difference between anything else, is because for all of human history, whatever an unclean person touched became unclean. But whatever Jesus touches becomes clean. Whatever he touches becomes clean. This is the difference in human history, is that it's not about just feeling good or immoral, feeling better. It's that Jesus can make anyone clean. From our sin, you and I are the leper. You're the leper. I don't care how good you look today with your Bible in your lap. You're the leper. Because you and I have sinned and gone against the holy God. But Jesus reached out to us and made us white as snow. This is the difference. This is the charge. This is the why that Jesus makes us clean. My amazing small group, they got really spiritual one night, and they told me and Kirsten about a game, a board game, which is very spiritual. And they told us about this board game called Pandemic. Weird title, I know, but it's a great game. So they introduced it to us, and my wife and I have become addicts of Pandemic, and we're playing till like midnight every night and love the game. And what this game simply is that there are 4 diseases that are trying to take over the world. And so you have a board, and it's a map of the world. And these 4 diseases are represented by little cubes. And every single turn, the cubes grow and get bigger. So the disease is spreading. So now you have to work with a team to get rid of the disease. It's an awesome game. I feel like I should have been a doctor. You know, it's like you have to get rid of diseases, but you have to find the cure first. Because without the cure, the disease will overtake the globe. And so your job is to find the cure and then go to the places where the infection is taking place and heal those cities. Jesus is the cure. He's the cure. We don't have to find anything else besides Jesus. He's the cure. And then you and I have Jesus in us. So now we don't have to be afraid of an unclean world. Where we go, the cure goes with us. Wherever we're going, there's the cure. That is why we as a church have the mission statement, embracing each person with the life-changing grace and truth of Jesus. Bringing the cure of Jesus with us. This world is full of sin and leprosy. But Jesus came down the mountain. He didn't just stay up in the mountain. He came down in the neighborhoods, in the communities, the villages, bringing the cure. You and I don't just stay on a mountain. We're down in the villages, the communities, neighbors, bringing that cure and that hope. That is why the church exists. It's different than anything else on this planet. We have the only cure. Praying to Mother Earth is not the cure. Praying to Allah is not the cure. Praying to Buddha is not the cure. Jesus is the only cure. He's the only one that can fix that sin, the shame. My cousins and I, every year, there was about 34 of us, so a lot of cousins. And what our parents did every year was to take us to a hotel. And it was kind of like our one big family thing to do. So we went to a hotel every year. And one of the fun things about it was the swimming. Because in Minnesota, you don't go swimming in ponds because that's where cows do their thing. So when we got swimming, it's always fun because you got to go to a real pool where it's clean. It's not like chloride. I mean, this was awesome. And so we used to love as cousins just swimming. And our favorite part was actually being in the hot tub. I don't know why, but it was like the hot tub was just our thing to do. So all of us cousins would sit in a circle, and we were just talking and laughing and being goofy. And then all of a sudden, this random, like, 50-year-old man with a gold chain necklace and a Budweiser and hairy chest comes into the hot tub with us. And you know what I'm talking about? You ever experienced this before? And everybody's like, you know, you start just, like, playing around with the water. And it's just, like, awkward now. It's like, what do we do now? And we used to hate that. It's like, get out of the hot tub, man. This is our time. You know, go do your own thing in your bathtub, you know? But this was our thing. And I think the tendency that you and I have is that we like hot tub churches. We like our own people. We like our groups. We like recognizing people we know. And what we form is a hot tub church. But there's people that need to come into that hot tub. Because they need the cure. People need Jesus. And we don't just want to stay in the hot tub. We want to go out and be with the people. And so what we did, unbeknownst to you guys, was we had a secret visitor at our church for the past 3 to 4 weeks. Dun, dun, dun. We wanted to see what was it like for somebody to come to New Life Church and just be amongst people. Were people kind? Did people say hi? Did people love? What was that like? So we had an amazing young lady, Alexia, who invited one of her student friends, because I love teenagers and the next generation, and she invited her to come and just be a part of church and youth group. And I want you guys to hear what her thoughts were.
All right, well, hi, ladies.
Hi.
Thanks for being here. You guys know me. My name's Tony. I'm the student director here at New Life. I have a couple ladies here. You guys just want to tell everybody who you are and maybe a little bit about you?
You go first.
Okay. My name's Alexia. I am a freshman at Southeast Polk High School.
My name's Jillian Keeney, and I'm also a freshman at Southeast Polk High School.
So Jillian, how did you come to attend at New Life and New Life Youth Group?
It first happened when Alexia sent me a text. She was like, hey, my church is doing a thing. And I'm like, sure, I'm interested. Like, I'm all up for trying new things. I've been going here for at least 3 weeks now.
So Alexia invited you.
Yes.
Right? So what was that like?
And I was a little nervous because faith was never really something me and Jillian had talked about.
Sure.
Yeah. But I knew that I could talk to her and ask her, and she wouldn't want to stop being friends or anything. She would be very open to it.
If you could speak to, you know, everybody in New Life, whether you met them or you've been around them or anything, mm-hmm. is there anything that you would say?
I'm just really glad that they welcomed me into their family. Even if I am an outsider and I don't know what's going on, and I didn't feel really judged when I first walked in, I definitely felt I was walking into open arms, and I was, like, very grateful for that.
So what would you say to Alexia? Anything that you would want to say after this experience?
I'm definitely very grateful for her, and even if she had to deal with me walking around like a little lost puppy or falling right behind her, like, every step of the way, and I'm very grateful that she invited me into this part of her life. I'm guessing probably no one in our friend group has understood, and I'm really grateful.
What would make you want to stay and be a part of what we're doing here in New Life?
Definitely just furthering my relationship with Jesus and God, because I've never really been a religious person. I didn't grow up going to church on Sunday mornings and going to youth group on Sunday nights. This is a really good stepping stone to my further relationship with Jesus and God, and I never really had that.
Us placing our faith and trust in Jesus is the only way.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So again, we're off script here, Jillian, but what would you think about that? Would that be a decision that you'd want to make?
I would have to think about it, but even like right now, like my thoughts, like it's definitely there, but I would need to think about it a little bit more because that's a very big step from where I'm at right now.
What about relationships with other people? Like, what are some of those other things that would be important for you when it comes to being a part of a church?
Probably just having that like kind of family relationship, being like, if I need to tell people something, I can just tell them and not feel scared or shamed that I feel like I'm different and I don't feel like I'm completely shut out from the world. And then if I do feel like that, I have somewhere else to go.
So Alexia, through inviting Jillian to be a part of New Life, what was the point of all that for you?
Well, I want to be a good disciple for Christ because that's what he calls us to do. And inviting people to church is the best way I know how to do that. And helping to bring other people to faith, just planting that seed for even if they don't want to keep coming, that's just something that I put on their minds.
Alexia, you inspire all of us. Way to go. That's awesome. Being a disciple who makes disciples of Jesus. The why is because God has given us a cure. And his name is Jesus. Now, because you guys are good Iowans, you're going to ask the, well, how then, right? That's good, Tim. That's the good why. But now, how? What are we going to do as a church? What does that look like for us as a church in practical terms? First off, it starts with prayer. Can't overstate the value of prayer. And we are praying to God, the God of the impossible, for an impossible dream. To see each person embraced with the life-changing grace and truth of Jesus, training disciples who make disciples of Jesus. These next 3 years, we don't want to be additional. We want to be very intentional. We have a window in our world, in our society, to reach people with the cure of Jesus. And during this time, for you at home, you in person, I'm going to go over what is our how we're going to do this together as a church. If you have any questions during this time, there's a little text box up top. You are allowed to bring out your phone. I won't say anything. And text that just text any question that you want. So at home, if you want to text, ask any question, feel free to ask any question to that number. Now, when you walked in, you got this little piece of paper. Why don't you bring that out right now? Pull that out right now. We're going to do a little bit of fill in the blank. Come on, fifth grade class. Here we go. Fill in the blank. And we are going to go over our how, our vision of where we believe God is taking us. These past few months, we've been going over a passage in Exodus. And the reason why we've been going over that, because I wanted to show you that here's the foundation of why we're going to do what we do. Like, why does this exist? These are God's promises. In Habakkuk 2, verse 2, the Lord said, write down the revelation or the vision and make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it. And so our goal is to write down this vision, write down this heartbeat that we have so it's plain so we all can run with it where God wants us to go with this. And vision is simply what you see when your eyes are closed. So if you close your eyes and think about what am I going to have for lunch, you got vision because you're imagining something that isn't here yet. You're dreaming about something, what could be. And for us, we believe that God has that same mandate for us to be saying, God, we don't want to just sit here to exist. We want to reach people for you. What would that look like? And we've been asking for the past 6 to 7 months with leadership what that could look like. So as a reminder, Exodus, this is a passage that Jesus used at the Last Supper. It's a passage that was prayed over for Passover, and even to this day, the Jewish people still use this passage because there's four I wills of God. And just as a reminder, here's what they are. Therefore, say to the Israelites, I am the Lord, I will bring you out. Salvation. I will bring you out of Egypt from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will free you. This is where we talked about getting the Egypt out of us. Because we can get out of Egypt, we need to get the Egypt out of us. I will redeem you. This is getting back to our original design as God intended. with an outstretched arm and mighty acts of judgment, and I will take you as my own people. We talked about ecclesia, how it's a place that is going to people, not people coming to them, and I will be your God. Then you'll know that I am the Lord your God who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. So based off of those four I wills, we have what we call the big four: to know Jesus, find community, discover purpose, live the mission. And so now I'm going to present to you our vision, what we are asking God, what we're praying to God to do these next several years. So by December 2023, in 3 years from now, we're asking God for a few things. We're praying with God. The first blank that you have is know Jesus. You can fill that blank in. To know Jesus. This is the most important of all of them, because without knowing Jesus, none of this matters. People have to come in relationship with Christ. It's the foundation of everything we build around, is to know Jesus. And our prayer is this. This is your second blank. 200 baptisms have been celebrated of people who have come to know Jesus and decide to go public with their faith through our various ministries and weekend services. We believe and we're praying that 200 people will go public with their faith in Jesus Christ. And I'm happy to announce that number is 198, because we're doing two baptisms today. Come on, somebody. It's going to be awesome. Because we believe each person needs Jesus, and we want to celebrate that. No matter what happens with COVID, no matter what happens with our governments, no matter what happens around us, people need to get saved. People need Jesus. And so we're going to focus on helping people come to know Jesus. Amen, church? Amen. All right, here we go. So the second blank is, even once you come to know Jesus, the journey doesn't end there. Now you need to find community. So that's your third blank, find community. We talked of the importance of this in our talk about on the second sermon about how the Israelites got to the promised land. And then once they got there, 10 spies came back and says, you can't go in there. And so over a million people said, I guess we're not going to go in there. So we realize the power of people to help us find the promised land of God or the Egypt inside of us. And we want people to be surrounded by people who are calling out that promised land. You need people in your life to call out God's promises in you. And so the fourth blank is 600 people have taken their next step to find community through our small group ministry, where each person is actively investing in and becoming disciples who make disciples of Jesus. We want to see 600 people involved in a small group, involved in like a Celebrate Recovery small group, involved in one of those mentoring one-on-one things, where we have this intentionality to make disciples. Steve Siemens, who's leading the small group march now, he's starting to get his troops all rallied to get this going, is focusing on, hey, how are we going to help become disciples and make disciples in our small group? How do we not just have a time just to hang out, but be intentional with making disciples who make disciples of Jesus? After that, this is the next one, where most people who are believers don't find. People that come to know Jesus, they have a group around them. But this next step is where we see God redeeming us. So the fifth blank is discover purpose. It's discover purpose. The importance of finding our unique design, using that unique design to fulfill what God wants to do in our life. Our prayer in these next 3 years is to use our Discover class to be a main engine of that. We're praying for 400 people to go through our Discover class, where each person finds their gifts and discovers purpose at New Life. Being a disciple calls us to activate our faith through serving and loving one another. We want to see people activate their faith, use their design, use their gifting. I know a lot of you are doing this already. Without you, New Life does not exist. Each of you plays such a vital role. It's the body of Christ using how it's wired. Without Alexia doing what she did, that young lady would have never came and heard about Jesus at this setting. She might somewhere else, but at this setting. That's Alexia using what she has, her gifts. And we want people to discover that and use their gifts for Jesus. And the last number, 7. The seventh blank is live the mission. We as a church, we want to be living out the mission of embracing each person with the life-changing grace and truth of Jesus. Our prayer is in the next 3 years, 20,000 hours have been given in investing in our neighborhoods and communities as each person is actively pursuing others for Jesus. 20,000 hours. That board out there represents 10,000 hours. If I were to guesstimate, we're probably at like 2,000 hours right now. Why do we put a number on it? Why do you even say 20,000? Why not just kind of let it happen? Because whatever you focus on is what you celebrate. You focus. Imagine an anniversary where the spouse comes and says, hey, happy anniversary. I have no idea how many years we've been married. Versus, I can't believe we've been married for our 50th year, right? To recognize each thing as precious. Each pin represents a person, so they matter. Each pin represents a person's life, so they matter. And we want to be a church that reminds ourselves as we walk out these doors, that's when church begins. And so we're asking each of you to say, you know what? How in my neighborhoods and communities? How can I maybe write a card to a teacher to encourage them? How can I care for my neighbor, maybe bake them some cookies or shovel them, just let them know that Jesus loves them and I love them? Maybe it's a nursing home. Maybe it's a school. Maybe it's downtown with the homeless. Whatever that looks like, we want to be a church that's truly activating our faith outside of these walls. To know Jesus, find community, discover purpose, live the mission. We believe that if each person, each one of you, had those four things alive in their life, you're truly being a disciple of Jesus. You're walking in what God has designed us throughout Scripture, the promises of that. To see this, when you walk these out, something will happen inside of your life. There's a buzz, there's an energy, there's fulfillment when you're actually walking in the design. David Duga told me when Andy and Molly went out and did this, I'm going to put you guys on the spot a little bit, but by the end, they were pumped, he said. Those were his exact words. They were pumped because there's something about actually stretching the muscles for Jesus. There's something about actually activating those muscles for him, and that's what God calls us to do. And the quick analogy that I thought is, imagine you want to get in shape or get healthy. There's two things you need to do. First one, don't eat the bad stuff. Eat the good stuff, right? No more nachos and Doritos, okay? No more, okay? Time for spinach and broccoli. That's the first step. Got to put the right stuff into your body. But what takes you to the next level is exercising. Without exercising, your body actually doesn't heal the way it's supposed to. Exercising helps that out. But if all you do is exercise, but you eat your nachos and Doritos, guess what? You're not going to get healthy. You need both intake and outtake. Intake and outtake. And that's what being a disciple is. The first two, know Jesus, find community, are your intake. The second two, discover purpose, live the mission, are your outtake. Putting those in practice. We believe this vision is something that God has laid on our heart. To truly see this take place. Seeing lives change, seeing people's lives change for Jesus is truly being part of something greater. And we want to start this vision off right. We want to start by praying over this. And there's four areas that we are inviting you to pray with us in. That God would open up my heart, my eyes, and my hands. God, open my heart. Open my eyes. Help me to see like you see, Lord. Help me see each person. God, help me use my hands the way you want to truly be part of something greater. And so how we're going to do this is Dan Wilson is going to kick us off by opening us up in some prayer today. And he's going to pray over helping us open up our hearts. And then at your seat, I'm inviting you just to pray for two and a half minutes. And then we're going to have Chris and Laura, that they're going to pray that God would open up our eyes. And then Phyllis is going to pray that God would open up our hands. And during this time, just I want you to pray with them. Let's ask God for the impossible, because we're praying to the God who does the impossible. Dan?
Heavenly Father, we offer all praise and honor and glory to you. We come today that we want to pray most sincerely for our hearts. Father, soften our hearts so that you may mold us into relationship with you. We seek you with our mind, our body, and our soul, but especially with our hearts. Father, we study your word. We see all those that have seek your word, seek you through their meekness with their heart. And you answer them. We believe that you will answer us. We seek to walk with you with a loyal heart. We come this morning with words and prayers, but seek to leave with actions to demonstrate our faith. We pray to grow in grace and knowledge in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, especially with our heart, most sincerely. I want to thank you for this church family that you've given to us. I want to thank you that you put this vision in the eyes of our pastoral staff and our elders. Thank you for this direction. Help each of us to have open eyes, to look around and see those around us that are in need of you, those that we can speak to and share.
Lord, I ask that you just open our eyes wide so that we can see the needs and we as a church can go and fulfill them and bring glory and praise to your Son.
We just thank you for who you are, that you sent your Son to the world to save us from our sin. And you promise that you'd never leave us, Lord. You never have and you never will. And may we be blessed to do our part, Lord, by opening our minds, our hearts, and our hands to serve you better. Thank you, Lord, when you said to go into all the world and preach the gospel. the world, Lord, is everyone we meet. And may we open our hands not only to help people physically, but in their spiritual walk with you, walk beside them and help them as we are your hands extended. We just thank you and praise you, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Keep praying for like one or two more minutes. This was on my heart. If there's anybody that just wants to pray too, and if God just says, you know what, I want to pray for this also. If that's you, it's like, hey, David will come with you with a microphone and just slip your hand up. You're like, you know what, I want to pray that God would do something. Just slip your hand up if you want to.
Each one of us understand how we fit into that vision. We are so grateful for your provision. We are so grateful for your faithfulness. We are so humbled at the things that you have done through this church. And yet we passed lost people today driving here. And so I pray today that you will give us the courage that we need, the boldness that we need, but most of all, the desire. And together as a church, as we move into a new vision and into opportunities, we will seek you daily for the strength and the wisdom and the ability to accomplish it. And we will tell you daily, thank you. Thank you for being such a good father. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for the privilege of loving other people with your love. We just thank you for a new opportunity and a new vision. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
The Bible tells us, if my people humble themselves, seek my face, turn from their ways, I will heal their lands. Thank you for praying with me, with us, that God would do something truly great amongst us. My prayer is for myself and for each of us, that we will truly believe what God could do. To ask. I said in my devotions the other day, and Jesus said, you have not because you ask not. That we would ask God for people's lives and souls and our lives to be transformed by His grace and truth. And for you today to ask the Lord, okay, God, where are you asking me now? What's my next step? Is it to know you for the first time, to put my trust in you? Maybe it's to find a community. Say, you know what? I've been doing this alone. I need that small group. I need that people. I need that Celebrate Recovery in my life. I can't do this alone. Is it discover your purpose? Going through that Discover class, find how God has made you and wired you. Or is it to start living that mission out in your neighborhoods, your communities, your schools? Whatever that looks like, I just want to challenge you that when you activate your faith, God begins to activate something special inside each and every one of us. His Spirit becomes very true and alive in our life. And as we close, there's no better way to close than to see lives changed by the one we're speaking of, by Jesus. And I think it's extra special. Adults are amazing, but there's something about students that I just love. You know, and to see a student come to know Jesus, I feel like it's like a tree. The longer they get to know Jesus at a younger age, like the bigger the tree can get. You know, it's just like that young faith is just powerful. And we have two young men that are going to go public with their faith in Jesus today. And remember, church, we celebrate, don't we? Like, we get excited for people. This is awesome. And so we have a special treat. Carolyn Stafford, who is part of our online church community, she's actually going to lead the blessing song for us. And during that song, there's actually going to be these two testimonies that are put in that song. So just enjoy this. Dan?
My name is Aiden Albertan. I'm 15 and I'm a freshman in high school. Before Jesus, I did things that my parents didn't like, or like I fell into the bad crowd and I looked things up, or I downloaded apps I know I shouldn't have. My parents busted me and I got in trouble. That's kind of where I had to like kind of think over what I did. My seventh grade year, I kind of just went through the motions. Yeah, I've always grown up in a church. I always knew about God and Jesus, and I went to Sunday school. Went to youth group. Like, if I hit my sister or something, or I stole a piece of candy, like, that was not okay. But once I started getting to, like, I guess you say the bigger things, it just kind of took over, and I didn't really understand Jesus anymore. I just hated it. So it was like a few days or week before eighth grade was going to start. I was standing, worshiping Sunday morning, and I was super nervous, and then my nerves just like went away during one of the songs, and that's kind of when it clicked that I needed to like switch up what I was doing, and I just knew like, okay, this is, God's got a plan for me. Oh wow, there is, God's right here with me, and I could really feel it with me, and I never had that feeling before, and then that's kind of was like, okay, I'm gonna start praying for real, not just do like the prayer, the dinner time kind of thing. Yeah, I need Jesus because over the last year or so, I've learned that I can't do it all by myself, and that there's something bigger than that I can't do on my own. And I'm glad that I'm making this step in my life to further my faith and further my life with God. He loves us. God wouldn't put us on this planet if he didn't want us here. And he has a plan, and yeah.
My name is Matthew Wing. I'm in sixth grade, and I go to Prairie City Middle School. I felt like I was like in trouble. Like I did not know who was God, and I did not know like what to do and what should I do in my life. So, and then last year I thought that I should get baptized, and I can go on forever and teach people to learn about Jesus and God. My heart started like hurting my heart, and then I started like I gotta believe in Jesus and God, because I knew God and Jesus was gonna help me with all my troubles and sickness. We all have sinned in our life, because I want Jesus, and we will move on from those mistakes and tell all about them and be the pastor in the next 5 years. God saving my life for all that he has done for me and my family. I'll probably go to my school and like tell all about Jesus and God after school, and then I can go home, go to like somewhere else, like where people don't know where God is, and now I can teach them how.
Good morning. I am incredibly proud of these two young guys. This is Aiden. Everybody say hi, Aiden. Aiden's been a kid I've been blessed to spend some time with since I got here a few months ago. So Aiden, why don't you go ahead and have a seat here real quick. Has there been a time in your life where you've confessed with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead for you? That's awesome, man. Well, we are excited and we are privileged to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is Matthew. Everybody say hi, Matthew. I'm proud of you, dude. Has there been a time in your life where you've confessed with your mouth that Jesus is your Lord and that you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead for you? It's my privilege to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
on. Give God another round of applause. Come on, somebody. Amen, amen, amen. It's all about life change. It's all about seeing lives transformed and changed. And we are thankful to God, for He's the one that does that. Thank you for being part of Super Sunday 2021. I hope you were inspired, encouraged, and I pray that we go out here as one unit going towards one goal, and it's to spring that cure of Jesus everywhere we go. Amen? Amen. Hey, if you have any questions, if you're like, what about this, Tim, or what about that, and you want a little bit more detail, you can text that number, or you can come at 4:30 tonight. We're going to live stream that event too. We're going to have some time of eating together and answering questions. But man, we want to make sure you guys understand the heart behind of everything that we're doing. Hey, turn to somebody and say, I am part of something greater. God bless.